The following podcast is part of a special oral history program titled The RSL, A Time to Celebrate 2021. The program documents fascinating and personal stories and experiences of veterans, war widows and partners right across South Australia. The program is in partnership with the Tanunda RSL sub-branch, Christian Toisner from the Emu Tree, and has received funding through the Saluting Their Service Commemorative Grants Program via the Department of Veteran Affairs. I encourage listeners to take their time to explore as many of these stories and adventures as possible. For further information, visit theemutree.com. Today is the 1st of June 2021. I'm here at the home of Marjorie Stevens. Thank you, Marjorie, for agreeing to participate in this program. Could I get you, please, firstly, to state your full name and your date of birth?
Marjorie Frances Stevens with a V, and my date of birth, the 1st of the 5th, 1927.
Do you prefer to be called Marjorie or Marge?
Marge.
Marge, okay. Marge, can I ask you, can you share a little bit of information about where were you born and some youth memories?
I was born in Brighton, Victoria. I have little memories of when I was very young until I was about five or six. I was at school and in a concert, and I got double pneumonia and was very ill, remembering that. Then my memories of when we were a bit older, and say 10, perhaps even a bit younger, and we lived out of the city area, so we had plenty of space to play, grow up with my three sisters and a brother, which were very happy times. Going to school, we had a walk. Well, it seemed like miles, but I guess it wasn't, but it was a long way, and we had a walk there, school, and then back again. But a good time in our lives. Then my mother had to move off the land. My father was in the army, and he was overseas. Not quite knowing where he was. She had to move us all into a suburb, so she had to sell up the land and move us all in. And then my memories of going to Bankstown High School, which I only went for a year and a half, as I did not like high school and the teacher did not like me. As simple as that. So I wanted to go to work. So my mother said I couldn't leave school until I got a job. So she was in the butcher shop one day, and the butcher said to another lady, "I've got a job for your daughter." And she said, "Well, thank you, but I have, she has a job." And my mother said, "My daughter would like a job." So I got the job at Moran and Cato's in Sydney. They were a big grocery firm with lots of branches of stores. So 14 and a half, I was out in the workforce, getting the bus and then the train to Redfern we had to go, and loved my work.
Can you remember, how did you feel at this age being out in the workforce?
Loved
How did you
it.
Feel?
Absolutely loved it. I was a bit nervous, I would say. My mother was very good, and she helped us in every way with our lives of growing up or school, whatever was involved. But yes, I was a bit nervous, but I loved working. I really did enjoy the working. So I sort of can't remember how long, although it would have been only perhaps a year. War, of course, broke out, and Sydney, being in Sydney, you knew there was a war on. And the children were going to be taken away to the country. My mother could take the children, but not her own. So she decided, no, that wasn't going to happen. So she packed us up, and I've thought about it in later years, not when I was young, having to pack up 5 children, get rid of all that was left in the house, get us on the train to Horsham in Victoria, country town in the Wimmera. We arrived there and stopped with her school friend and her husband on a farm. And we stopped there for about a month until my mother got a house in Horsham. And then we moved in, and I guess she had to get beds and, yes, everything that we needed.
At that stage of your life, how did you feel, and what were your views on the war? Like, was it exciting? Was it scary? How did you feel?
Exciting for us. We would hear about it on their radio. We would listen to the radio and get all the British English news. But that was essential in our household. And it was a very old radio. We had to bang it on the top to get the valves going. But we would all sit round and hear the English news. And I guess partly exciting when the troop trains came through, we would go to the station and my mother would make cakes, as most women did for the soldiers, and I knitted socks for the soldiers. So we'd take the socks up and give them to them on the train. They were returning home off a ship going to whatever place they were going to, Western Australia, I think. So, yes, partly to us at that age of 15, things were exciting, put it that way, for us. We had Americans come and be just outside of Horsham, which we, our mother said we mustn't speak to. And yes, oh yes, the Americans, you didn't, you know. And it was exciting for us. I remember talking, I was working then in G.J. Coles, they were then, in Horsham, and they would come in and, of course, always want to give you the change. They didn't want to take the change. We couldn't do that. But it was exciting on their part to be able to talk to an American when you were that age, quite, yes. But that's as far as it went, as far as, you know, being in touch. But a lot of girls, of course, married them. Some worked out successful, some ones they returned never heard. So there was disappointments. And so I then worked in the office and absolutely loved working, yes, my job. And, of course, it was to bring home money to give my mother. We only kept a little bit to go to a dance. And the money went back to my mum to help her because there was no pension for women in those days. They had to go to work. We took in boarders at one stage and that was fun, but not much fun for my mother because it was extra work for her. And my older sister was working by then, so there was 2 of us working and the other 3, my sisters and brother, were at school. Happy days, though. We used to go to the church hall to learn to dance. And
what was that like?
Fun, yes.
Any funny stories there?
Don't think so. I loved it because I loved dancing and it was really good fun with all our mothers sitting around the hall knitting while we learned to dance. It didn't get up to much mischief at all. But to me it was good fun and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So then I was able to go to dances with my sisters because she was a year older, so I was lucky I was able to go with her. So my life of growing up then was, yes, the war was on, but in Horsham it didn't touch you much. We're in the country, you really didn't know there was a war. We were too far away, yes. But there was rationing, of course. We had sugar rationing and butter rationing, clothing coupons. We had to save them up if we wanted to buy something. Butter, sugar, I don't think it was tea. Butter, sugar, I think that was the only two we had in way of, and then clothing coupons, yes. So growing up to me was wonderful, working, going to dances, and then with friends, the group of us from work, we'd ride our bikes out to Green Lake, back again. By that time it was so hot, we went for a swim. But that was our lifestyle of playing tennis, or trying to play tennis, me, because I couldn't see far enough.
What were some of the other things you'd do to entertain yourself?
Knitting. All the girls, if they were boarding there, everybody would be knitting. And I used to knit for people and charge them. I used to do that. And, oh, yes, and I was an usherette at the theatre. Now, that was considered quite a nice job. We wore long frocks, and we took everybody to their seat in the theatre. Now, under this finding your own, fumbling over the darkness. And that was very enjoyable. And, yeah, and we got paid for it. So,
Can you remember some of the movies that were on at that time while you were working there?
It'd be Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. It would have been when I was, let me think about that, 15 and a half, and I am now at 94. So, 1943, yeah, the war was on.
43?
Yes. Riding out, working. And I guess it's the things you love doing that you perhaps remember most. Wonderful time in my life, I think, that if everybody had as happy a time as I did, you know. And I think in that era we did. There was not much to do as far as entertainment. You entertained yourself. And when we had parties, somebody would play the piano if you had one, and you'd sing. You know, we'd all get round and sing. Or as I said, we'd all sit round. If it was girls boarding, of course, everybody'd sit round knitting. We'd listen to the news and the cricket. And we used to love it because when the cricket was on and it was a duck, they would have a little duck coming across the screen. You know, they have different signals for the going out in cricket. Not that I was a cricket fan, but that's what we watched because everybody could listen to it. Another one, Singing in the Rain, that'd be another movie that we would have watched too.
How many times have you seen that movie now?
Yes, it's about 10, 12 times. It was one of my favourites. I've still got it on. I haven't swiped it off. It was on. So every now and again, if I can't find anything and want something lively, I put it on. And it's very bright and happy.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yes.
You just mentioned that one of the things you would do is, if there was a piano in a certain house, etc., that you'd get around the piano and sing a song, like sing a song as a group. Can you remember any of those songs that you used to sing? And can you maybe give me a line or two of one of those songs?
Knees Up, Mother Brown. That was one. And it's all the war songs we sang. Vera Lynn songs. Vera Lynn.
How did you feel when you heard the war was over?
Well, we were all very excited and we all gathered in the main street and just were happy and cheerful and bring all our boys back home and our fathers. Yes, it was a very happy time, even though the war didn't affect us that much, but we still all celebrated the war being over. Yes. That was, yes. And to get everything back to normal again. So I say, it didn't affect our lives a great deal in the country at all.
When you say, now things getting back to normal, things just really continued on.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did. Things continued on. And we got rid of our coupons and perhaps was able to buy a bit more clothing. Well, we mostly in that period had our dresses made by a dressmaker. You couldn't, I guess you could buy, but they were, everything like that was too expensive for us. But we always had our clothes made by a dressmaker when we were older. My mother made them all when we were young. She made them all when we were, she's a lovely, she's good, she was a beautiful sewer and a beautiful cook. Yes, she was a good all-round mum.
Talking of your mother there, what was your mother's name?
Kathleen May Stevenson, S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N. So I just dropped off a few letters.
And your father?
He was Robert Henry Stevenson. He was in the army and he was in Tobruk at that time of the war. Later part of the war, yes, he was there.
So do you remember that moment when your father returned?
Yes, he came home for my sister's wedding. She was 19 at the time, and he came home for that. And he was to be discharged from the army. And he never came back to us. So for my mother, that was absolutely, to us it was a loss, but to her it must have been absolutely devastating. They were childhood sweethearts at school. So they went back a long way. Yes, he met another lady and was told by her son, who one of my nieces, dug and dug and dug till she found out what happened through the army. She found out where he was. He was in Sydney and he was supposed to be married, but the divorce from my mother never went through finally. So he was not married and he had another 5 children. So that means he had 10 children. I've been in touch, yes, I'm in touch with 2 of them. One younger one died. The third one didn't want to meet me, but she did now, so I've met all of them. And I'm in touch with one in Sydney. And he died, I think, in about 63, somewhere about that stage. So, yes. So there was a lot of paperwork to attend to, which my niece sent to, because all their names are on his death certificate. They shouldn't have been, well, secondary, but so she had all ours put on as they proper should be. It hasn't bothered me. And one of the youngest ones was terribly, terribly upset. She said that wouldn't be the case. He was too nice a dad. And I feel sorry for her to have to be hurt that way. Mm. Is it worth it? Mm. You know? No, but anyway, that's life as it goes on, doesn't it?
Okay.
So, yes.
I'm sorry to bring... To
that's bring, all right.
I didn't see that coming.
No.
At all.
I know, but it's got to come up. It's got it's out. Yeah. I would quiet about it for years and realise, well... It's got to come out. I've had to say it quite a few times at different things. So, and sometimes stories, you've got to be told what did happen. And it's happened in the war. It's like them being shot or a thing. We mention that, don't we?
After the war was over,
yeah.
Where did life bring you?
Yes, well, I was still in Horsham working. And then I met my husband. I met him, he was in the war, so I met him. He was taking me to a dance at the town country town, Matoa, out of Horsham, to a friend, a great friend of his, who I had met, but I was not that fond of him. It was nice, but I wasn't. So he took me over to the dance, and I'm afraid I had nearly every dance with my husband-to-be, and the fella there was not his friend anymore. And so we went out together then in Horsham, and we dated for 12 months and then became engaged. And then I think 12 months later we were married in Horsham.
And what was your husband's name?
William John, but he was known as Jack.
What was he like? What was he like when you first met him? What was the sort of character was he?
Well, he was very likeable and very easy to talk to and a happy person. He was from a family of nine, five girls and four boys. So he had plenty of experience with girls growing up. but he was a lovely person and very happy. And we loved going out dancing. So while we were going out and being engaged, yes, we used to go to lots of dances. And he would come, of course, around to the house quite a lot. He was in a boarding house with fellas, so he did visit a lot. And we had a very happy time. And then we were married in Horsham.
And what year was that?
1947. We went on the honeymoon to Tasmania, which was rather special because most people just could afford to go to Melbourne or Geelong or somewhere, yes. And it was our first plane ride. So that was quite exciting. And we stopped at a nice hotel. And I was absolutely terrified because there was so much confetti in my case. So there was a carpet square. So I picked up the carpet and I swept it off. But confetti was a great thing then. It was part of the wedding, part of the fun, I guess, of it, yes. Mm. But had a lovely wedding just in the church hall, which was nice. And in those days, all the children, well, I guess most children don't go to weddings, perhaps now, I don't know. But the children were at a little table where they were served hundreds and thousands bread and, you know, all that sort of thing. But it was a lovely wedding and in the church, St. Margaret's at Horsham.
Horsham.
And in the hall, yes, we had the reception, which was lovely, and then we went away, yeah, on the train in the middle of the night, 3:45 in the morning. I think the express used to leave from Horsham and got to Melbourne, so, and then we flew over, and that was very special. And we came home, and we lived at my mum's for a while till we could get a housing trust home, which we did. And my husband was working locally. Then they sold the business they were in, and he went back shearing. So he did go away to Mildura and followed it through, a lot in Mildura, out of Mildura, so he did go away. So I was home. Then our first child was born, and he was working at home for that, so that was okay. So I was bringing up a child, and I had twins, I had a boy, and the girl was stillborn, yes. Which was very sad in those days because they didn't let you see her unless they were just taken away from you. And I guess I'm very lucky that my husband, with the minister, buried her. So I was lucky because they just used to take them away, and a lot of mothers never knew where they were ever. So I have been back to the grave and given her a little grave and named her. So that's been very special for me. Yes, so that was being a mother, was quite busy. He kept me very busy, and husband was around. And the second child was born 18 months later. So, very busy.
Did you have a boy or a girl?
A girl. Catherine. So then we decided, well, I wasn't going to be at home on my own. We bought a caravan, and I went with him right up into the country with a baby 12 months old with a pillow on my knee, and she was on the pillow in front of the car. Imagine that. But there was nothing. And Robin was in the back, of course. So I travelled around, and then the others joined, and at one stage we had three caravans with us. So it was company, and the children had a lovely time out in the open country, and the owners would always send out meat and milk for the children. So it was quite a nice life. But
and this was in Victoria?
Yes, in Mildura, yes, Mildura. Out of Mildura, all round, out in the country, some 100 k's out one station. But it was lovely, people were lovely in the stations, and most of them you would only get the odd one that couldn't, but it was very good fun. Then, of course, Ron had to go to school, of course he was 5, so we had to come back.
So back to Horsham, that was then?
Now, I'm just thinking about this. No, back to Mildura, bought a house, because his father was working, his father was a shearing contractor, and he was living there and working out of, from Mildura, so it was closer to live in Mildura, where they would come home easy. Yes, bought a house in Mildura, and Ron went to school, and I was a mother at home, of course, and then 18 months after Kay was born, Gregory was born. Quite unexpectedly, that one was not planned the right time, but there we are. And he was born. So he was 18 months younger. And so then being a mother, my sister-in-law lived just sort of across the lane, so we were good. It was good company to have her, and we made friends through church and the kindergarten, which we worked for. But I went to church, and how I got everybody, you know, of course.
So they're good times as well.
Yes, very good times. Yes, yes, and you had a few friends around you, and you just got on with it because the men had to work, and that was their job to do. And if they had to go away, well, that was it. So, and then Christine's 3 years younger. Christine was born 3 years after. That's the four children. We all said we'd have four. It doesn't always work out to that, but that's what.
So there was Ron.
Yes.
Then there was Catherine. Catherine. Mm. And there's Gregory and then Christine.
Yes, that's it. That's the family. Mm.
Your husband William was off working as a shearer.
Yes.
You were in Mildura at this point.
Yes.
With four children.
Yes.
What were the things that stand out in your mind over this period of time?
Had a lot of happy times and then not happy times. My mother was living with us at the time for a few years. I guess she was okay, and she was working, and then she wasn't coping, so she did come to live with me. And I guess She was good. She was good for that time because when I went into hospital at Greek, she looked after the children till Jack got home. So she was a great help then. But then we had to move. We did move onto a quarter acre block further out of Mildura. My husband was going to grow veggies and do that sort of thing instead of the shearing, but that didn't prove, it couldn't happen. The growing of the veggies was taking too long and he wasn't getting enough income from it. So he did get a job in a dairy in Mildura, and that was okay, but the money was just minimal. And when you've got four children on a block of land, you've got more expenses. So he did go back to do the shearing. So then my mother died, and that was daunting for me. It was really, of course she was living with me, and she took an overdose of barbiturates, which I had high up in the cupboard, but she... One night she got up. And so for me, for her, I guess it was relief. She was sad. But for me, it was a big, big shock, big shock. Yeah. So I cope with that. And it's funny how it is. I have absolutely none whatsoever memory of a funeral. Absolutely none. It just won't come back. It just won't. I try to think about it, but no, I guess the sadness is there, and it just won't come to me. Whether it will, I don't know, but So that was the sadness, and I guess you've got to have sadness as well as happiness in your life, haven't you? Yes, she's 63, so that's young, especially nowadays, but there we are. So we got through that. Then my husband's brother came to South Australia and got a property at Sandy Creek, and he bought us a house to live in. And we had to sell up our property, which didn't sell. We had only half a house, not a full house, because that's all we could afford, and that was fine. We built the back veranda on after a while, so the boys and my mother had a bedroom. So we came to South Australia to work, and the property sold a fortnight after, so that was quite a relief for us financially. And we came over and stopped with them till we got a trust house in Gawler. So that's how we come to South Australia. And that would have been 60 years ago, about. Yes, it would have, yes. So
early 60s.
Yes. So we moved into Gawler, into a trust home, and realising how small it was now, how we coped. But we were in our own home, so, well, you know, a trust home, and our house... It sold, so we didn't straight away buy. We just let it be because the children were all young and we were coping. We had a friend, her husband was a wool. He graded the wools, yes.
What's it called, classer?
Yeah, wool classer, that's it. Yes, a wool classer. So he was away, so his wife and two children used to often come over on the weekends when our husbands couldn't come home. And so it was a small but a lot of fun. Children had a backyard to play in. And I always had children all the time at my house. Then my husband and I sat down one night and said, now we've got to do something about building, because they were getting older and would want friends to stop over. So we built a house at Evanston, and that's just across the road from where we were. It was the second house in the whole of Evanston, And so we built a house at Avery Jennings, which is a lovely home. We could only afford blinds in the bedrooms. We couldn't afford them in the rest of the house at the time. And we polished all the floors. It was all wood. And I can remember I sent them home this night. It must have been 9 or 10 o'clock. And I said to my husband, you take them all home. I'll continue doing it. I don't have to go. I wasn't working then. So I remember being in the house there in my own painting, then walking across the road at 1 o'clock in the morning. But that was safe then. It was not, you know. So we moved into our house and we were so happy there, Evanston. And many, many people, children, calling there. My husband had a quarter acre, so he grew vegetables and fruit trees, all the fruit trees. And just sidelining in from that, I was at the Gawler High School reunion Sunday, this Sunday. At Gawler, and my son's daughter said, come on, Mum, come. I said, well, why? They said, well, you might meet somebody. Well, I've never had so many people come up to me and say, Mr. Stevens, I remember always being at your place. And that went on all afternoon.
Wonderful.
And I met people I knew, but their husbands were there and their parents, a lot of them. I would have been the oldest there, but yes. And then we met up. My daughter hadn't met many from her class, but then we met. Greg bumped into a girl, Wendy. She was Wendy Perry then, and she was down from the country, so we spent 2 hours with her because we knew her family, and so talked and talked.
Wonderful.
And yes, it was really good. My son just talked the whole afternoon, and we left there at 5 o'clock. We thought we'd be home by then. So it was really, yeah. And my youngest daughter, Chrissy, she was coming, but then had to cancel because she was too busy. So there were a lot asking after her, where's Chick? That's what she was called then. And she, so we've told her a few stories over the phone of how we enjoyed it, yeah. So that was a good sideline. So,
yeah. Marge, in your 94 years, what do you think have been some of the major moments for community?
Community, I think my church came to the fore. A lot of things happening in the community, and always found it very comforting and rewarding. Close friends who were, I had two lots of very close friends, one from when we met up several times in our lives, and close friends from Gawler, and they both died, and the close friends from Victoria, they both died. So those both, two lots of close friends have died, but we were very good close friends. You have a lot of other friends too, but they were good close friends in our lives, and we had happy times meeting in each other's places. I guess that was the highlights when you were, you know, you couldn't afford to go out. I think at one stage when my husband and myself, we hadn't been out for 3 years because he was away working, and when he was home he wanted to be with the family, and we didn't have the money to go out, but put it that way. Not until the children were off your hands. It didn't bother us. We were happy with our lives, and as I say, the church would have social things going on. And I guess we were in, there were things socially then in your group of people where you lived then, you did have social things with neighbours, yes. And schools. You were then involved in schools. In one stage, I was involved in 3 schools because one was still in primary, one in high school, and Ron was in another school. So it was a busy life being a parent then.
Busy schedule,
yes. But good. It was enjoyable, yes. We moved into Adelaide and we went into a business at Burnside. We went into a Continental deli on Green Hill Road, Burnside, just by the roundabout there. Yes, it's still it's a restaurant now, an Indian restaurant. So we were in that for 3.5 years, and that was hard work. And my husband enjoyed it, but it was very long hours for him. We were able to get a house close by behind, and that was easier because if it's quiet, I'd go home and do something. And then he'd just ring me up if we got busy, and I'd go back. And then I'd take his meal down earlier, 6:30, and I'd look at after the shop while he had his meal, whereas he was waiting. When we were further away, he'd have a meal when he got home at 9 o'clock. So that worked out. So we had that for 3.5 years.
Was that 7 days a week?
Yes. Wow. Of course, the family helped out. The family helped out with that, so that was good. They were all very good.
What was the name of the business?
Continental Deli. Mm, yes. That's what it was called, yes. And we used to have lots. Friday was an extremely busy day. We'd have about 4 trays of Continental cakes come in, and all the meats, and the people would come in with their orders. They'd get their cake and their meats and everything. You know, it was all freshly sliced. Nothing was, you know. So it was a good job, but my husband did a good, really good job. It got him off the shearing, put it that way, and it gave him great experience. So after the 3.5 years, he went to work at Chapman's, small goods. Oh, that were in Adelaide somewhere, but I forgot. Really, it was their factory.
Mm, yeah.
Yes, but I don't know. It was in just one of the suburbs close, not far apart. And he didn't like it one little bit because it was in the factory. And he had to, when he finished his work, he wasn't allowed to go and help others. He had to stand at his workbench and do nothing, and that was against him. He worked always. So he got out of that, and he was doing a bit of gardening for people at church. So then he got a bit more gardening and a bit more gardening, and he was able to garden. And when people got to know, and they'd pass it on to somebody else. So he did gardening, which he loved. So he did that quite a few years till he retired. Yes, he was. He did have a heart problem, but the whole family had that, and he was the only one lived to 75. He lived to, the others were in their 60s. His three brothers and his father died when they were quite young. So he did get it, but he was fit after his heart operation, as fit as a fiddle. It's still, yeah, because that cures, you know, the heart transplant. They were right to fit again. So we lived there, and then when we went out of the business, we bought a house in Arthur Street, Tranmere, which was a lovely old home that's still standing there with 2 stories behind it and beside it and all around, but the house is still there. So we loved that. Yes.
What was the address of that
house? 7 Arthur Street. I think there's 7 or 5 near enough. Arthur Street, Tranmere. Yeah.
It's a lovely.
Yeah, suburb. So we enjoyed that. And I was still there then. He had health problems and he had a stroke, which he was out at Hampstead. Wonderful rehabilitation, absolutely. They got him walking again, but he could not talk. But they did get walking, and after 3 months, he came home and I looked after him. And so he was quite good. He was able to get out in the garden and weed. And so I took him out my laundry basket and he put the weeds in that, and then he was able to wheel it around and empty it. So he did most things. He could water the garden and weed. So he was as happy as he could be. He used to go for rehabilitation. One day a week he would go, so I would have time off, you know. But I did go out a couple of times once he was well. He he'd go to his class and I'd leave the key in the box. He'd get himself in. I'd leave his afternoon tea. So he was quite capable of looking after himself. Then he got sick and it was cancer of the lungs and that was not good. So he was in hospital till they got him stabilised and I brought him home and looked after him again till I couldn't and he was in a wheelchair. I'd have to get him out of that and he was not responding to my, you know, help of trying to get him dressed and so forth. So then I got help in the house. Chap used to come in and shower him or then just bathe him when he got not able to shower. And they gave me a nurse every second night. They gave me a nurse for the first week and then every second night so that I could have a sleep. And then he had to go to hospital where he passed away eventually after about a month. So that was one of my saddest things in my life, of course. But I had family around me and they were all good. So I stopped in the house and then I sold it and went into a unit, Tusmore Avenue, Tusmore. Oh, that was a lovely, lovely unit, which I enjoyed very much and was able to still have all the family. And so I had a lovely little backyard. So I started going out to concerts and Legacy, War Widows here, used to come to meetings here. And Legacy and concerts, they used to have a concert, they might still do, town hall once a month. Mm-hmm. They were free, so there were lots of things to do. And I had friends to go with. There used to be a group of us 12 that went to the concerts. Then it went down and down and down till there were two of us and then just me. So, yeah, happy times though with lots of friends. So then when I did a bit of travelling after I was 80, well, I sold the house so I had the money. And the family said, spend it all. I said, no, I can't do that, but I certainly did have four wonderful trips overseas.
And where did you go?
I went to the Antarctica.
Oh, my goodness, what was that like? Oh,
absolutely breathtaking. It's hard to describe when you're out in that little boat. And the first time I was absolutely terrified. You had so many clothes on. And then you get your life jacket on and then your gum boots. And you've got to go outside because you start to get too hot inside. You've got to go out into the cold air. And you've got three layers of everything on you. It's on your head. And you put your life jacket on and then your two sets of gloves. And so you get out in a little boat and then they take you to an island and you'd get off and the snow was this deep. So you had to keep to the track. But if there's penguins on the track, it's their track. You had to get off out of their way. They have right of way. So it was so exciting. And you're seeing all these penguins in their nest and they'd steal stones from one another over to theirs and it's a bit from babies to little chicks and hundreds, thousands of penguins. It was just lovely. And I went off the track this time. I slipped off, I think, and my daughter tried to help me and she came off too. And my son-in-law, who was laughing madly, we were too by then, had to pull us both. But oh, what fun and just so different a life. And to be on that little boat and see that ice, that great sheet of ice. And there was one huge sheet and it had a sort of a hole in. We asked, could the boat go through it? But they said, no, we can't. And the colours of the rainbow in it was just... And they would turn the engines off so we could hear the ice crackling and making all these sounds, yes. So we went out every day in the boat. It went to a different place and we'd go on a different island. One was just dirt. It was dirt and the pen was not as many, but quite a different to the ice, the snow. And I remember the last day and I was very tired for 7 days on this, and that was absolutely wonderful.
What age were you when you first set foot on Antarctica?
80. And I thought I was the oldest on board, but there was a chap 81. Of course, my doctor nearly refused. He wasn't going to sign. I had to have a certificate to say I was healthy before they'd let me go. And he was fumbling around. I knew him well. I'd gone to him for years and years. I said, Jeff, please get up with him. Just sign my papers. So he was very happy to hear that I was back again. And then did Africa. And I went to see the pyramids. And my daughter said to me, now, when you get to there, you'll look out your bedroom window and you'll see the pyramids. And that's exactly what it was. We're at Mena House, one of the oldest hotels in Egypt. Mena House, beautiful, old, still as it is, yeah. And so that was very exciting too. And we travelled every day. And went to different places, and we had Christmas Day. For breakfast, we had hard-boiled egg and a bread roll because we didn't like the look of all the other things. And the salads were built up like a pyramid, so I could see all these hands making the salad. My son-in-law ate the hot things, but no, we didn't. My three daughters, myself, went to Vegas. Had a ball.
What did you think of Vegas? Yeah.
Well, nighttime was absolutely amazing. It was just beautiful. I just couldn't stop looking. We went out every night. We went to shows. Yes, absolutely amazing. Daytime, it looked like any other street. But anyway, the girls shopped till I dropped, and we had, yes, just the most wonderful time, yes.
How many days were you in Vegas?
We were there 3 days, and then we had a little bus ride to the Hoover Dam, so that was exciting. There were only two other people on the bus, so that was a great excitement, and we went on further to I don't know the place, but there were caves there were absolutely amazing. Yeah, so then we came back and had another few days in Vegas. So I reckon we would have been there, you know, 5 days in all. Yeah, so great time had by all. It was absolutely, absolutely fun. Yeah.
Did you have a flutter?
Yes, quite a few places. Because you got off out of the plane and on the airstrip, there were pokies there. They were everywhere. If you went up to a bar to sit down, have a drink, there was a pokey beside you, everywhere. Mm. But we had a few flutters. I think my daughter had a bit of a wind, but mostly we fluttered it away, yes. And we played them when we wanted to, you know. And if we had a bit of spare time, the girls were very interested in shopping because it was very reasonable, really, really reasonable, a lot cheaper than here at the time. They had a great time shopping. I did a little bit, but I mostly watched what they were putting on and having a look at. And they looked after you in the shops. They'd get a chair for me to sit in and bring out clothes to them to try on. But very good, very good. So what else did I do? And then I did a trip to Europe on the boat. Got on in, we flew to Amsterdam. And had a few nights there, had a look around the city, and then got on the ship there, or boat, whatever it's called, a ship, and did the European. And no, it's a boat, isn't it, when you do the
Is this the cruise down?
Yes, jet through Europe. You do go through the Fords. Mm. Yes, you're going through them all the time. That's forwards, that sounds wrong. That's where they, you know...
The locks.
That's it. Mm. We went through, I don't know, 60-odd locks. My son-in-law, we went down to see most of them. We didn't bother. But lovely trip. And I've got a funny story to tell. We were told, now we had verandas. Now we were told, make sure when you went out that nothing was left on the veranda because other people can see So we used to air our underwear out. We'd rinse it out each day and we'd air it out. And we're all in the line coming back from a day out. And I said, I wonder where our room is. And Guy looked up and he started to laugh. He said, your knickers are on the chair, because it went right down the line, didn't it? And never did it again. But yes, it was just, we just had a laugh about it because it was really funny. Ah, dear. That was a lovely trip, yes.
There's your room.
There's your room. Yes, that's what he said. Lovely trip, well looked after, food was beautiful, and they had entertainment most nights. I didn't go out every day. At this time, my back was starting to, well, I'd been to a specialist, and he said I could go, but I was still in quite a bit of pain, so I evened it off, but I got through it all right, with medication, of course. So that was the last trip I did. I go to Tassie and I go to Melbourne, see my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but of course I haven't been. Last year was right up. But I go up to Queensland every year to be with my daughter, have 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks if I want to.
Mm-hmm. So now you're living here on Fullerton Road?
Yes.
At the War Widows?
Yes. Hill. And I love it. Yes, very happy here. Won't be going anywhere from here.
And what's a daily kind of routine look like for you these days?
Well, if I don't have to go anywhere, I'll stop in bed till 8:30, even 9 o'clock, and get up, breakfast, shower, and do some jobs. But if I'm going out, up by 7:30. Be ready to go out on a day trip or go into town. Going out, hairdressers today and then into town with my daughter. She comes over quite often. But I'm usually out quite a bit this week. I've kept, it's fairly quiet because I'm going in to have an operation on my eyes tomorrow. And I'll be out of gear for a week, so I'm going to be bored out of my mind, but never mind. But I could be out 3 days a week or 4 days a week, right, with different things going on, trips and
Busy.
I go on them. Yes, I do all I can. Yeah. Of course, it's enjoyment and you're meeting other people. It's fun.
Marge Stevens, thank you so much for sharing this time with me today and telling me some of these amazing stories. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for participating in this program.
Thank you for having me, Chris. It's been a delight to reminisce on all of part of my history. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to The RSL, A Time to Celebrate, 2021.